scheduled for a hearing next week on Tuesday. And so it's going to get kind of fun for a little bit. We'll see how far the Republicans can make it with a flat tax bill. We're hoping that it gets Democrat support. We'll see about that. There certainly is a case to be made. Chris Reeder, who is the Executive Vice President of Institute for Reforming Government's Action Fund, joins me to talk about this. I haven't spent a ton of time talking about this, but the flat tax bill gets rid of Wisconsin's income tax and replaces Wisconsin's income tax with an additional 3% on the sales tax, right? Basically?
Well, so the first, thank you for having me, Vicki. Really appreciate coming back onto your show. So the bill that's up for hearing on Tuesday would simply take the current progressive tax system that we have and knock all of the brackets down to 3.25%. So it would still have there would still be an income tax. There's another proposal that we came out with about a year ago, which is exactly what you just said, that is, let's go really bold as a state. Let's take a look at the stuff that we have now, and let's get rid of taxes altogether and try to be competitive.
I like your bill better. So this one just simply flattens the tax rate, but doesn't get rid of the income tax. It's not going to make us as competitive as getting rid of the income tax and adding a very small increase in sales tax, which, has tons of exemptions already. That's really a shame. But flattening the tax just the same is something that is meant to make Wisconsin more appealing for people to come here rather than so many people leaving for states like Florida that have a really nice tax structure.
Right. Absolutely. That is the point of what our plan was a year ago, to completely eliminate the income tax. But it's the point that the Senate Majority Leader has with his plan of flattening, is we have to take a look at what can we do as a state to be competitive. We know that our population is leaving, they're aging, young people are moving away. And if you look at where they are moving to, they're largely moving either to states without an income tax, places that, like Tennessee and Florida and Texas, or they are moving to states that have a lower income tax. So if we can work as a state to take a look at, we have a $7 billion surplus. To me, that means the state has overtaxed our people by $7 billion. I don't think that's something to applaud. That means we need to really get in and reset our tax structure. We've taken way too much over the years. So how can we be competitive? To really go bold, we would eliminate. We'd be one of the best states in the country then. We think we would be a magnet. If we're able to get Senate Bill 1 over the finish line, that would make us the best in the Midwest, the lowest tax rate. All of our neighbors, except for Minnesota, have lower income taxes than us now. Iowa, our neighbor to the southwest, is looking to flatten theirs, and they're on a path towards elimination. So it's one of those instances where if you're not keeping up with your neighbors and you're not keeping up with other states around the country, we're going to continue to lose out. So to us, to IRG Action, we really need to take the surplus and this opportunity to figure out how do we fix our tax code. So one, we're not overtaxing. Two, how do we position families and small businesses to succeed in the face of incoming recession? And, three, just how do we make our state a magnet so that as people around the country continue to move, we're a more mobile workforce now, that Wisconsin is actually on their radar. If we remain the third highest spending state and we remain one of the highest income tax states, we're just not even on the map for people looking to move. We're going to continue to have an exodus. The plan that's up for hearing on Tuesday is certainly a giant step in the right direction, and we applaud the senator for bringing it forward. And to us, it would be step one towards that eventual plan of elimination.
Well, and I just wish they'd have gone big on this, just because, if this gets over the finish line, the flattening of the tax, what tends to happen in politics is people think, I've done my one big thing. And then And then you end up, you know, kind of coasting for 10 years. Iowa's become kind of like the new Wisconsin. Iowa's doing now what Wisconsin did maybe 12 years ago, and it's attracting a lot of people. I actually know three fairly good friends of mine who have moved to Iowa, not Florida. They moved to Iowa because Iowa's got rational, rational conservative government. And it's a Midwest state, and things are very similar in Iowa, except people drive slower in the left lane than they do here in Wisconsin.
Well, the myth that we often hear when we're talking about income tax elimination or flattening is, you know, we often, well, people are only moving to Florida and Tennessee because of the weather. And of course, there's some truth to that for some people. But at the end of the day, the people are moving to Iowa. They're moving to Tennessee. They are moving to other states in the Northeast.
They're moving to the Ozarks. Missouri. Okay. You know, beyond St. Louis, it's a pretty rational state. I know people are moving to the Ozarks. They're moving to Arkansas. They're moving to Missouri.
Right.
So don't say that was just because of the weather.
Right. And both of those states are currently joining the fight. You know, Governor Huckabee Sanders she just signed a text. And as she signed it, she said this is putting our state on the path to elimination. That's the avenue that states that are looking at a tax structure as a way to draw workers and to draw people into their state. Taxes is what states are using for that draw right now. And again, you're either moving forward as a state and trying to do that, or you're not, and you're going to be stagnant, and others move ahead, and they will win out on the battle for future workers and future growth. And if we want to succeed, we have to do something big and bold. Tuesday's a great step to get there. And look, juxtapose that against what the governor has for his proposal. You know, it's tax credits and refundable credits largely aimed at, you know, picking winners and losers instead of being across the board. It also raises taxes on manufacturers and others who we need to drive our economy. So, you know, our encouragement towards the legislature and to the governor as they really stick to this debate for the next 2 months, as they finalize the state budget, is we need a tax structure that both, yes, absolutely, as the governor wants to do, helps low and middle income. Flattening and eliminating taxes would do that, but that's not enough to drive economic growth. You also need to help those small businesses and larger companies at the top, who are the ones that are investing in future job growth. So a tax structure like what is up at the hearing on Tuesday, bringing everything to 3.25%, it was the low income and the middle class that we all want to help, especially, you know, Governor Evers wants to help them, but it would also actually drive our economy forward, and, you know, make sure that we're a state that is growing and competing for workers and jobs and families and investment well into the future.
You know, maybe, you know, your middle class, maybe we'll slop you a refundable tax credit. That's all the middle class ever gets is, well, we'll throw a tax credit, but you have to, you know, do X, Y, and Z in order to qualify for the tax credit. That is not a way to try to support the middle class in Wisconsin. Support the middle class and make it a lot cheaper for us to actually stay in Wisconsin. You want to know, by the way, who's not going after and trying to run their manufacturing capacity out of the state? Iowa. All right. Again, they're not trying to kick manufacturing out of the state. They're trying to attract people. And one of the biggest problems we have in Wisconsin, unless Tony Evers gets his way and he actually manages to hammer manufacturing like he's been campaigning on for two elections, you know, they need workers. They need people to move to Wisconsin. They need Wisconsin's cost and spending to go down to attract more people to our state, because folks are leaving, and not just for the good weather. So, I mean, I've been listening to manufacturers complain about not having enough workers in Wisconsin for probably the past several years. Why would you want to make that worse? Why not try to solve that problem in multiple ways by making it more attractive for people to move here in the first place?
Right, and not just manufacturers. I mean, all of our favorite restaurants are shut down a lot more than we would, or they're shut down entirely. You know, retail is struggling. We hear about it in the healthcare field. We hear about it from school districts. They can't find enough teachers. And the comment that you see in news reports about those different shortages is, you know, they pit each other against each other. Like, you know, people are accused of demonizing one industry or another, or of feeling employees from one industry to another. But the bottom line is there's just not enough people. So it's manufacturers, but also it's, you know, if we want to grow in all sectors, including, again, healthcare and education and across the board, they are all saying we don't have enough workers right now. And a very strong solution to that is let's take a look at income taxes. Let's tell people, you know, take a look at how much the state just took from you today. If today was your payday, it was somewhere between 3.5% and 7.65%. And wouldn't it be nice if that was only 3.25% or even zero, right? You can see that line.
Zero would have been better. Should have had some guts and gone with zero. Yeah. You know, $7 billion. How many taxpayers are in Wisconsin that they're sitting on $7 billion?
Right. They're sitting on the money, and they also, you know, on the spending side. So not only are we way overtaxing our population, but on the spending side, right, we are, according to Kaiser Family Foundation, we're the 13th highest per capita spending state. We spend more than anyone else in the Midwest, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, 1,000 more than Illinois spends per person. And you know, Vicki, you know which states are at the bottom of that list in per capita spending is all of the no income tax states, or at least the majority of them, are you know, they show up at the lower end of per capita spending because their states understand you have to have sane taxation policies that will draw people in and keep money in families' paychecks, so when they're sitting around the kitchen table, they can actually see their money being spent on what they need and not going to the government. But they also have strong spending policies in place, so they're not just overspending and leading a race to the top in terms of, you know, state spending. And unfortunately, we overtax this state, and we spend much more than, you know, most other states. Again, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, we spend more than all those states per capita, and that is just kind of mind-boggling when you really think through, like, what do we think we get for that massive spending?
Yeah, and if you think that maybe there's, what, probably 2.5 million taxpayers or tax returns filed, maybe 3 million, that's $7 billion. That's a couple of grand per taxpayer. So this is stupid that we you know, tolerate being overtaxed. And what Tony Evers wants to do is tax even more and then spend that $7 billion and bake it into the baseline of spending and then raise our taxes again. It's just, I mean, look, what is the attraction for Wisconsin? It is cold here. And so some people think that we're like the Arctic. You would like to make it an agreeable, attractive place for people to consider locating and to make sure that people don't consider leaving. Like I said, lots of people I know are already eyeing much tax friendlier states, much more rational states than the state of Wisconsin has been in the last two gubernatorial terms.
Right, absolutely. And it's smart of them to, it's sane rationale for people and families to do so.
I want them to stay. It does make sense, but I want them to stay because they're, you know, our voters.
That's why we need this reform. We need it for families. We need it to, you know, make sure that small businesses stay here. I mean, look, most small businesses, this is a fact that most people is lost in most people, but small businesses in Wisconsin make, you know, they employ over half of our population. Over about 51% are employed by small businesses, you know, employing a few dozen people at most. Of those small businesses, almost 90% of them file as individuals. So they are filing, you know, typically at the highest one of the highest tax brackets in the country. So if we can flatten the 3.25% or eliminate, that's just a massive boon for small employers to be able to take and invest back into hiring or upgrades or what have you. But it's letting them decide what to do with it, investing back into our economy, and not letting government pick the winners and losers of what they do with those small businesses' earnings.
Chris Reeder, I appreciate you coming on the program today, the Executive Vice President for IRG Action Fund. Good to have you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You as well. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about